Should work now. The Frinks, Charlie and Beau Frink, missionaries that our church has partial support to New Zealand, they should be in the air right now, heading toward California. They're going to be home for a couple of months. Their youngest daughter is getting married the first part of June. And so pray for the Frinks before you go to bed this evening. You say, well, they'll be in California by now. Don't think so. That's a bum trip, isn't it, Doug? That's long ones, long ones. And Jerry was texting back and forth with Beau Frink, and Beau texted that her father died unexpectedly yesterday. And nobody, I guess he's been sick, but he had been doing much better, and this was kind of a shocker to everybody that it happened yesterday. So be in prayer for the Beau's family as they deal with this unexpected loss. Unexpected to us, but God knows exactly. He has, his word tells us our days are numbered, aren't they? And we don't know. He doesn't tell us. You've only got 7 days left. That's why a person needs to be ready now for when the Lord takes us out of this life. We're prepared to go home to glory. I'd like you to take your Bibles, and I want us to just take some time tonight as we are preparing our hearts for the Lord's table. There was a verse of Scripture that the Holy Spirit brought to my mind that I want us really to center on this evening. And from that one, we're going to go a lot of places. That didn't feel like that felt good, did it? Didn't sound like it felt good, that thump. But it's in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy 3, 16. It tells us, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest or revealed in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. I want us to think about this verse this evening and just some of the things connected with that. Really, you have the whole scheme laid out as far as the redemption of mankind right here in this verse. And we're going to take a look at some things connected with that as we spend these next few minutes. Let's start, first of all, with the words that Paul wrote as far as the mystery of godliness, or the hidden truth of godliness. What was it? What was it? It revolved around the coming of his only begotten Son, didn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ. What did that have to do with godliness? Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 4, verse 14. 14. We hear about Jesus Christ, especially this time of the year, one of the times of the year when folks get religious. Have you ever noticed that? There's two times of the year when people get religious. I don't like that word, because religion is man's attempt to make himself suitable or pleasant with God. Christianity is what God has done for us. But if you find somebody that seldom goes to church, there's a good chance one of the two times they're going to go to church is Easter Sunday, Christmas Sunday. They're not too much interested in the other 50 Sundays, but at least they're going to go this. Well, why? Well, that was about Jesus. He'd been crucified. Some of them talk about he was buried and rose again. The mystery of godliness. Why did he come? Why did he come? 1 John 4:14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be what? The Savior of the world. That's why he came. That crucifixion was not an accident. That crucifixion was not God's plans being spoiled concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy 1:15, just a page back or two from our text this evening, it says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief," Paul said. That's why the Father sent the Son. As we saw there in 1 John, he sent him to be the Savior of the world. Well, what did our Lord think of that? Was he in agreement with that? In John chapter 12, verse 47, in the words of our Lord, he said, "If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to do what? To save the world." Yes, that was the Father's will, and our Savior was willing to do the Father's will. And so we think of this mystery of godliness that Paul wrote about. Yes, it is a mystery. So many things in connection with that, I don't know that man can explain. For instance, how can God put the sins of every person who has ever lived, is living, or will live on his Son, in the sense that he was bearing our sins on the tree when he died, so that he could die for your sins and mine. And that after he rose again, he would give everlasting life to those who would believe, receive the finished. Can you explain that? That's a mystery to me, how that could be. But you know what? I believe it. And I trust you do too. That he died in your place, so you don't have to die for your sin. He's already paid the penalty. And the offer of salvation is yours if you would receive it. Well, let's dig into this verse a little bit more and see some of the other truths that are here. We just scratched the surface of the mystery of godliness, that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Well, what does this verse tell us? First of all, God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh or manifested in the flesh. But wait a minute. We talk about Jesus coming. That's right. Well, it says God was manifest in the flesh. Let's look at Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7:14. This is a passage that we often hear at the Christmas season. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Look at chapter 9 of Isaiah and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. What? The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Turn with me, if you would, to Micah. You have to keep going further back in the Old Testament. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Micah 5, 2. Here's another one we often hear at the Christmas season. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Well, what's so significant about that? The one who was going to appear in Bethlehem Ephratah was one who was eternal. Who's eternal? God. Where was Jesus born? In Bethlehem. So we look at this and we see great without controversy. There's no argument, Paul said. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. And in the New Testament, a very familiar one, John 14, and the Word was made or became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, there are many more references we could look at, but I trust this will help us on this first point that we look at. As we consider this mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh. But as we go on in our key verse here, it says that he was justified in the Spirit. Justified in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, testified that this one truly was God in the flesh. That's what that means. Let's look at some references. For instance, Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw what? The Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Paul wrote to Timothy how that part of the mystery of godliness is that he was justified in the Spirit. The Spirit bore witness of his personality, who this is. Let's look at John 15:26. John 15:26. There we read, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of whom?" Of the Lord. That is the Holy Spirit's ministry. Do you know that true spiritual ministry never exalts the Spirit? The work of the Holy Spirit in Scripture is always magnifying, pointing others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Lord said he would do. When he comes, he's going to testify of me. And we find that's what Paul wrote. He was justified in the Spirit. The Spirit bore record of him. One more reference on this in 1 Peter 3, verse 18. 1 Peter 3, verse 18. "For Christ also hath suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened," or brought back to life, by whom? By the Spirit. By the Spirit. Great is the mystery of godliness. No argument, without controversy, Paul says, this mystery of godliness, God manifested in the flesh. He was justified in the Spirit. Next, he says, he was preached unto, pardon me, he was seen of angels. Luke chapter 2, verse 13. Luke chapter 2, verse 13. The second chapter of Luke is the very familiar account of the birth of our Lord and the shepherds that were out tending their flocks by night, when suddenly they had visitors that came to them. It says, "And suddenly," in verse 13, "there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, Glory to God in the highest," and so on. And we find that the angels were announcing his birth, telling the shepherds, "You ought to go into town. Go see for yourself." 1 Peter 1:12. 1 Peter 1:12 tells us this: "Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into." The verse previous to that, it talked about the Lord Jesus Christ and how that the message that had been preached to them, preached the gospel with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. So we see the mystery of godliness. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, and the Spirit of God testified of that. And the Lord Jesus, he said he came to do his own will. I mean, he did not come to do his own will, but the will of the Father who had sent him. What about this next one, though? It says, "preached unto the Gentiles." If you've been with us in our Romans series, you know we have hit on that on numerous occasions in the book of Romans. Let me give you some references in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 11, verse 1, "And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God." Look at verse 18. "When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance of life. To whom was the good news originally sent unto? To the Jews. But the Jews rejected him. And we find the servants of the Lord, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, then began to take their message to the Gentiles. We can find in Acts chapter 13, verse 46, we begin. Acts 13, 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you." He was speaking to Jews. And he said, that was where we had to start. "But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Yes, great is that mystery of godliness. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. And we find eventually that gospel message began to be sent unto the Gentiles. The next phrase, it says, believed on in the world. Believed on in the world. And just stop and think about the great commission that the Lord gave his followers. "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the" what? End of the world. Mark has another one of these, which we call the Great Commission. And we find that God's word is being sent worldwide. Sadly, not everybody has the word of God in their own language. There are more that do not have it in their language than those that do. And we need to pray that the gospel could make strides in reaching the lost in the world. But around the world, we find that the message of the mystery of godliness is being sent forth. Well, then the last phrase, it says, received up into glory. Acts chapter 1 records for us that while they were standing there talking to the Lord, after he had given that word that you're going to receive power after the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you're going to be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We just saw that phrase in our text. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, what happened? He was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Drop down to the 11th verse. Two men in white apparel said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." In Mark chapter 16, he's the only one of the four gospel writers that records this. But in Mark 16, after he had said, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 19 says, so then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat down on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs, signs following. What are we celebrating this evening? We are celebrating using the word of Paul to Timothy. This is all involved in the mystery of godliness. As we think of this table that is before us, the Lord Jesus Christ told his followers as he broke that bread, he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken or given for you. Take, eat, all of it. And then he took that cup and he taught them and he said, this cup is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. Drink ye all of it. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for lost sinners. There is such a thing as godliness that lost sinners can be a part of. Aren't you thankful for the truths of the mystery of godliness? Thank God for them. Thank God for them. At this time, I would invite you to turn to number 122.